Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome to each one present, especially the visitors in our midst. We welcome you with us today. You can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15 for a message today. Luke chapter 15 is our text. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This is a very familiar Bible passage. Luke 15 has three parables that are very familiar to us. And I have heard many sermons preached from Luke chapter 15, and I have preached sermons from Luke chapter 15. But I feel like in my study of this chapter again that perhaps I missed in this chapter what Jesus was really trying to say. And I would like us to look at this passage in its entirety. There are many lessons here. There are many sermons that could be preached out of this. There are many lines of thought that can be taken. But I would like to take the one directly today that I believe comes because of verse 1 and 2. We just read those two verses, and I think they are a key to understanding the rest of the chapter. We have a number of people in focus here, specifically two groups of people, the publicans and the sinners. The publicans we know as tax collectors in Bible times, and the sinners were the down and out, as low as they could get. That's who Jesus is talking to. These people are coming to him. And the Pharisees and scribes are the other group of people. And they have a problem with what Jesus is doing. This man receiveth sinners, and he even eats with them. And that's the problem that Jesus had on his hands. It wasn't a problem for Jesus, but yet that is the foundation of this chapter. Jesus is trying to correct all the wrong thinking in verse 1 and 2 by what follows. We'll read the rest of the chapter. And Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I've entitled the message this morning simply, Jesus and Sinners. Like I mentioned in the outstart, the publicans and sinners drew near to hear Jesus. They wanted to hear him. They loved to listen to him preach. They loved to listen to him explain the Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus loved to teach them, and he loved to sit down and eat and visit with them. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured. So Jesus told them three parables. First, there was the lost sheep. And it's really a very simple story that Jesus told. He said, if a man has 100 sheep and he loses just one, what will he do? Well, the Pharisees and publicans knew the answer, of course. They lived in the days of shepherds, and they knew how valuable sheep were. And they knew that the shepherd would do exactly what Jesus said he would do. He would leave the 99 behind, and he would go out and search for the one that was lost. That's what any good farmer would do with something that he loses, that he values. That was not a surprise story. The next story was a piece of silver, perhaps a bit harder for us to understand. because coins in our American society have become almost worthless. Many of you, if you drop one in the dust, wouldn't bother looking for it. And that's probably sad, but that's not the way it was in Jesus' day. This woman had a savings of 10 pieces of silver. I don't know what she was saving them for. They were probably the only possessions she had, as the only pieces of silver that she had, likely. And she lost one. And it was of great value to her. And so it's not hard for us to understand that she would leave the 9 pieces and go and look for the one. Of course she would. She would dust and sweep the house and look everywhere she could to find that one piece of silver that she had lost. And then there was a man with 2 sons. And I just read the story to you. It's very common to you. I'm not going to go over the details of the story. But we have 2 sons that chose different ways. And we have this young man taking the possessions from his father that would have been rightfully due him after his father's death, but he took them prematurely. His father gave them freely to him. And he went and wasted them. And he was away from home in a far country. We aren't told how long. Communication was poor in those days compared to today. I don't know if the father had ever heard from his son in any way or not. But likely not. But one day, the father looked out the dusty road and he saw his son coming home. The ragged man that he was, the man at the end of the road, and his father ran. And he wrapped his arms around his son and he kissed him and he welcomed him home. But in the midst of all that welcoming, the father had another son. And the other son refused to celebrate the coming home of his younger brother. In fact, he refused to own him as his brother. You noticed as we read that when he talked to his father about the younger son, he said, "This thy son." And I think his father caught that, because when his father spoke back to him, his father said, "This thy brother." Did you forget he's your brother? The man and his 2 sons. I don't think that the Pharisees and publicans were surprised by the story of the man running out and welcoming his son home. What father would not do that after a long period of not seeing his son? After seeing the destitution of his son, what father wouldn't run out and do exactly what that father had done? I don't think they were surprised by that story. even though the son had mistreated his father in verse 12, we have him simply demanding, give me, the two words are there, give me. He doesn't ask his father to do a favor for him. He doesn't ask his father if he would let him have some of the money and see how wisely he uses it, and then he could have the rest. He just says, give me. And it seems as though the request was, give me now. And no father would like to hear his son in that way. But his father gave it all, apparently, immediately. Again, part of the culture that we perhaps don't understand. The son did realize in the course of his debauchery, he came to himself, it says, and he said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's what he tells his father. But the father treats him royally. He says, bring the best robe. Put a ring on his hand. A ring in ancient times was a mark of honor and dignity. Put shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf, verse 23. Possibly a sacrifice here, I don't know. But sacrifices were common in this time. The blood would have been for an atonement for the son's past sins. And then the feast afterward was a celebration because of the repentance of the son. Verse 24, the father says, my son was dead, and he's now alive. He was lost, and he's found. So we have the man with the lost sheep and the woman with the lost coin and the father with the lost son. And they all three responded as the Pharisees and publicans would have expected them to respond. They were not surprising stories. They're not surprising stories to us today. I'm not sure what the Pharisees thought about the elder son when that was described to them. That is a surprise to us when we read the story. His response of anger. But again, we see the father taking his place. You know, the son that had run away from home and fled his father, when he came back, his father was there for him, ran to meet him. And now when his son, who had lived with him all the time that the younger son was gone, responded in anger, and a servant probably told the father, he's outside, he's angry, he won't come in. The father could have said, well, let him out there. I guess we'll celebrate without him. But that's not what the father did. The father left the celebration. He came out to intercede with his son. He did what fathers are supposed to do when there is difficulty in home relationships. He tried to appease his son. Verse 29. This is an angry man. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. I don't know what happened in the months and years when his younger brother was gone. I don't know. Apparently, the elder brother felt slighted and betrayed by his younger brother. I don't know what took place before he left. But it seems as though in the lack of his presence, the feelings between the two boys didn't get any better. They got worse in the eyes of the elder brother. And all he could think about was the failures of his younger brother and how ridiculous a life he had lived. He thought about that long enough that he began to feel discontent with what his father had done for him. And we see a very jealous angry, bitter young man. Again, his father could have responded in anger. His father could have responded and told him how wrong he was. But this is how his father responded. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You've been here. You've lived here by my side. I gave your younger brother his portion. And that means that everything that I own today will someday be yours. He made it clear that he was not going to take some of the possessions. He had no intentions of taking the possessions that were now his elder brother's and give some of them to the younger son who had squandered everything he had been given before. He said, that's not my intention. You've been with me. You will ever be with me. And all that I have is thine. It was meet. It was good that we should make merry and be glad. For this, thy brother. Don't forget, he is your brother. This, thy brother, was lost and is found, was dead and is alive again. For him to say that his brother was dead, he certainly was referring to his spiritual life. We know that he was not physically dead, but spiritually he had become dead because he had squandered everything that his father had given him. He was dead. But his father said he's alive again. He's alive again. How did his father know he was alive? Good fathers know that. He was lost. He was lost physically. His father did not know where he was. He was lost. And now he's found. And in that way, he was also spiritually lost and found. Let's go back again to verse 7. In thinking about Jesus and sinners, we're again looking at the focus of verse 2. 1 and 2, that where Jesus sat down to eat at meat with the sinners and he taught them. He was not afraid of the lowly and the people that were far below what the Pharisees and scribes thought they were. And in the first parable, he ends with verse 7. We have the little story, and then he says this, I say unto you that likewise. So here's the comparison. In the real world, a man with sheep, the lost one would go find it. He would spend time looking for the sheep that was lost. And now likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Jesus is drawing a parallel between the physical and the spiritual. And he's saying, me sitting down and visiting with the publicans and sinners and teaching them is what I am called to do because they are lost. You are the righteous people, you scribes and Pharisees. You are the ones who have studied the Word of God. You don't need anything. And if one of these sinners that I sit down and teach repents and comes to me, then there's going to be joy in heaven, just like there's joy over that sheep that was found. In fact, he said there's going to be more joy there than there is. There's going to be more joy because of that one than there is because 99 of you Pharisees and scribes sitting here who haven't done anything wrong. And he applies it even to us today, 99 just persons, which need no repentance. If you and I this morning need no repentance, if we are born again, living a righteous life, we should not be surprised if one that is destitute and lost and has ruined everything in his life and comes back to God, that there's rejoicing in heaven over that. And not over us. And the same is true of the piece of silver. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so it was in the story of the two sons. With the son that came home, the son that lived at home lived a righteous life, according to what he said at least. His father had nothing else to say about that. He lived beside his father. He did what his father told him to. He didn't ask for his money ahead of time, even though it appears he did get it, because the father says he gave it to both of them when he divided it. And the lost young man came home, and there was rejoicing. And Jesus says, that's how it is in heaven. That's how it is in family relationships. What father, what mother would not welcome his destitute son home if he's repentant? Everyone would. And so he said, that's how my Father in heaven is. And then he says to the elder brother, and this thy brother. Yes, even though he's wasted everything that I've given him, even though he's lived with harlots, even though he's lived a wretched life and he's ruined everything that he has, he's still your brother. This thy brother. May we continue to feel the heartbeat of Jesus and the God of heaven, the God of mercy that we know. And yes, even though sometimes in the real world, as Jesus portrayed it, there are elder brothers, and there's still elder brothers today that need to be helped by their fathers to understand. But Jesus was asking the scribes and Pharisees, you know, the story ends there. I don't know what the elder brother did. It doesn't tell us. Did he go in with his father and repent of his thoughts in his mind? Or did he stay outside and he was still angry? Well, the publicans, the Pharisees and scribes were very clearly, if they looked carefully at this passage, they knew that Jesus was talking to them when he brought up the elder brother. But Jesus spoke, the Father spoke, the God in heaven speaks to the elder brethren just as redemptively as he does to the prodigal son. May we copy what Jesus has taught us. May we live our lives and honor our brother. Shall we kneel for prayer?